Arriving in Germany on the war front of World War II, she walked the roads and saw the suffering. Really saw the suffering. She looked at the faces of the children and saw the injured people, the people who had lost limbs in the bombing. She saw the blank expressions of desperation on the people's faces. Diana just couldn't believe that humanity could do this to each other. How could people cause so much suffering to other people? As her eyes were opened to the realities of war, she is overcome with love for the people, and she realizes she wants to do whatever it takes to stop this war. Wonder Woman still had much to learn about love and hate in this world, but love compelled her to keep trying to stop human suffering. The directions of Jesus seem so simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay. Although that might take more than we think it does, but that's not where I'm going today, but just think about that for a moment. And love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't seem very complicated, but still, just to make sure we understand, the question is asked, well, who exactly am I being asked to love? Who is my neighbor? So Jesus tells us the story about a man who is traveling. Along the way, he is robbed, beaten, and left to die on the road. And a couple people come by, two men, good men, a priest and a Levite. They walk right by. They don't stop to check on him. They just keep going. Now, before we're too hard on them, let's first admit they could be us. They might have important things to do. People might be waiting for them down the road. Or maybe this is generally a dangerous area of the road, and if they stop to help the poor man, they could put themselves in danger and end up in the same condition. Maybe the robbers are still in the area just waiting for someone to slow down so they can rob that person too. How often is it easier just to not get involved? How often do we all let fear control us? But then comes the Good Samaritan, the hero of the story. Jesus identified him as a Samaritan on purpose. To say that Samaritans were not the most respected people in the Jewish world of the day might be an understatement. And yet, it's the Samaritan who stops to help. He doesn't just stop and do what's convenient. He doesn't call 911 and hope somebody else gets there to help, which is what I do when I see somebody in trouble on the road. The Samaritan really helps the victim, really cares for him, picks him up, dresses his wounds, puts him on his donkey and takes him to an inn, pays the innkeeper 2 days' wages to care for him, and promises to come back and check on him until he's well. That, my friend, is what Jesus means by love your neighbor. Your neighbor is not identified as someone you like. Your neighbor is not necessarily someone you want to hang out with. They might be. Your neighbor is anyone you come in contact with in your daily life. It's anybody you happen to learn about who has a need. And in this world of amazing communication, our responsibility has grown. Truth is, our neighbor is anyone, everyone, nearby and far away, which makes this commandment challenging, to say the least. Loving your neighbor might bring up feelings of fear, dislike for others, and in general, it might feel inconvenient. We might ask ourselves, what do I get out of this? For some, it might seem overwhelming. How can I possibly love and help all of the people that have needs? But what if love your neighbor isn't just a loving sacrifice to help brothers and sisters out of the goodness of our made in the image of God hearts? What if it's bigger than that? What if Jesus knows that we will be better people, happier people, if we love our neighbors? It's a fairly well-known fact that the most satisfied older adults are those who have invested their lives in giving love away. They might be rich or poor, they may have held positions of power or not, but if they have invested themselves in making the world a better place, then they seem much more satisfied with their life. And besides, no one can argue that helping others makes us feel good about ourselves. It seems like the right way to live. So what if the Good Samaritan isn't just a lesson about caring for others, but it is also about caring for ourselves, so that we're able to love ourselves as well, so we are better? And what if it's even bigger than that? What if loving your neighbor is the hope our world has for the future? What if loving your neighbor is the only way God's kingdom is to come? Gary Chapman, author of the popular marriage book, Five Love Languages, also wrote a book called Love is a Way of Life. In it, he says, "I believe that not only does love stand a chance in the world, in fact, it is our only chance. If we come to respect one another as fellow humans who need one another and choose to look out for one another's well-being, the potential for good is unlimited. If we fail to do so, we shall lose our dignity. We shall use the technological advances of the last 50 years to destroy one another. If we are going to solve the world's problem of global society, it has to flow from love." Now, I will admit that that book is about 10 years old, maybe a little older than that. And I want to tell you that if you look at how technology hurts people, he may be onto something about how our technological advances are going to destroy us. But if we use our technical advances to share love, if instead of bullying children online, we encourage them, if we share messages of God's love with others through Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, if instead of putting somebody down for the choices they're making, we encourage them in the things that they are doing, we can share love with the world. And what does this kind of love look like that Jesus is asking us for? It might look like Ruby Jones of New Orleans. Ruby was 67 years old when she was a nurse when Hurricane Katrina hit. She chose to stay and ride out the storm with her 80 dying patients in the hospice unit of Lindy Boogs Medical Center. Her children told her not to be Superwoman, and I'm sure Ruby didn't feel like Superwoman. She felt like a nurse, being faithful to patients that she cared for. She reported to work on Sunday and did not leave until Thursday when her patients were evacuated. The storm broke windows in the center, blew open doors, and she just kept caring for her patients. She wouldn't leave them. When the power went out and there was no drinking water and the medical center began to flood, she kept doing her job. It was her love for patients that kept her going during that time. This kind of love might look like Elizabeth Elliot and Steve Saint. Elizabeth's husband Jim and Steve's father Nate were missionaries in Ecuador. In 1956, they were trying to make contact with native tribes and were killed by the men of the tribe. Instead of returning home, Elizabeth, joined by Nate's sister, stayed and learned the language of the tribe through the women who they connected with. The opportunity arose through the health needs that arose in the tribe for them to make contact with the tribe, and they were able to teach them about love and forgiveness. Steve Nate's son would come to live with the tribe in the summer and was able to offer forgiveness to the men who killed his father. Ultimately, one of the murderers became like a father figure to Steve. I saw the two of them, Steve and the man who killed his father, at a Christian concert not too long ago, and they told their story so that we could learn about love and forgiveness. Actually, it was a lot longer ago than I thought it was. I'm just thinking about how old I actually am. Love might look like the many people who have given their time and resources to host SOS guests here this week. I was here on Tuesday night. Our regeneration group was here. This is our group for young families. They were cooking and serving dinner, which was wonderful. But there was something else really amazing going on, and I don't know if they were really aware of it, but I think they might be. Where there were all of these young children. They were helping to serve dinner. It would have been easy for these families to say, well, our family's really too busy to do that, because they are busy families. It might have been tempting to send one parent and leave the other one home with the children because, well, that would have been easier. But they brought their whole families. They are intentionally teaching their children how to live a life of active Christian living. They are teaching their children how to make love your neighbor a way of life. It was a wonderful moment to witness, and I don't know, maybe you do know you're doing that, but it's a cool thing. On a side note, they are also teaching their kids to pray in front of people. Kaylin Dorr got to say grace, quite enthusiastically, I might say, and she's young. For those of you who don't know Kaylin, she's 4. She did not pray anything that she has memorized. There was no God is great, God is good. She prayed in the moment for the people who were there, for the food, for family and friends. And as I looked around the room, I saw this big guy praying with his hands up, eyes closed, as if Billy Graham himself were saying grace that night. And Kaylin was happy to do it. It was the best, and love abounded everywhere. Love might look like a pair of shoes that will be given to our neighbor children in Southwest Detroit. When the shoes are delivered and children's feet are washed and new socks and shoes are put on them, love will be offered. Love might look like Hands for Detroit in October, or like tiny homes. It might look like refugees being welcomed. It looks like Stephen ministers sharing love, or like food being handed out at Alexander's Food Pantry. There is a lot of love around here. And yet, our world seems to be filled with hate. Love is the only thing that can change that. When we hate those who hate, it just makes more hate. When we respond with love and grace, it can change hearts. The cover story of my August issue of Sojourners magazine is titled Confessions of a Former White Supremacist. Tony McAllaire is the founder of a group called Life After Hate, a nonprofit group dedicating to helping people leave the neo-Nazis and other hate groups. He tells the story. There was a young man, a white supremacist, being served at McDonald's by an elderly African-American woman who saw the swastika tattooed on his hand. She looked at him and said, "Oh, honey, you are so much better than that." At that time, it was only a seed. But it was a seed that was planted in love, not hate, and it stuck with him. He has since left white nationalism and has committed his life to helping others leave. It wasn't immediate, but he never forgot. And if you ask him what caused him to leave, he will reach back onto that little statement in McDonald's. The seed planted in one sentence germinated until it caused him to change his life. McAllaire says, life without hate tries to help people reconnect with their humanity, first with their own sense of being unlovable, then that of others whom they've mistreated, who generally offer grace, and it sets the whole process going. Because, he says, we are all so much better than that. As we look at the future of our world, we face many obstacles. Global terrorism and its leaders has killed thousands of people every year and pushed hundreds of thousands more into refugee camps. Drugs and related crimes destroy the lives of many of our good young people. Extreme poverty is the norm in many countries. And on and on and on the bad news goes. Some would say that the world is growing darker with each passing day. But let's remember that the greatest darkness can be brought with the light of love, can be made brighter. If people in our world can rediscover the power of love in their everyday interactions, we can replace the darkness with light. When we offer healing to those who are sick, food and water to those who are hungry, shelter to those who are homeless, when we offer forgiveness and grace, we offer hope for our world. So the call to love your neighbor might not just be to sacrificially give of ourselves, although that's a really good thing too, but it might be so the world will be better for all of us. Wonder Woman, a good movie if you haven't seen it, learns that in the fighting, even in fighting evil, the world cannot be saved. But she says at the end, "Now I know that only love can save the world." Amen.